Please pray with me. Lord, you do tell us that your word that goes out will not return void or empty, but it will accomplish all that you purpose. And we pray that by your grace that would be true for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I am not a builder, and I'm not very good with my hands, and I know nothing really about building. But when we were in Honduras for some mission trips, I was asked to build a couple of walls with some other construction people. And when we were there, I learned some things that probably are pretty self-evident and probably you already know. And that's that if you begin the wall wrong, then the whole thing is going to be messed up. You gotta put the right stone in the right place in the right way in order for the end result to be right. And it's obvious, and I guess I learned it, and I'm still not a construction expert, but I learned that one truth, that if you put it in wrong, the end result will be very wrong on the other end. Well, the Old Testament lesson today is one of those bricks, and if we understand that this is one of the foundation stones that we've got to get right in order for us to end up right, then we'll begin to understand what it is that God is trying to tell us. And we can't begin to understand Jesus or the Trinity or his plan of salvation or anything about God unless we get our view of human nature right. What the Bible teaches us about human nature, basic human nature. And so the Bible begins and it ends with this fact that we are exiles, that we've been kicked out. It begins and ends with that true fact. Adam and Eve, you know the story, were placed in this wonderful place with great fellowship with God and with one another. And it was paradise. It was everything they ever wanted. It was what we would always and forever want. And he says that you're free now to enjoy life as it's meant to be, except for one thing, and you can't touch that one tree in the middle of the garden. And we know the story of how they were tempted and how they gave in and how they disobeyed God. And that there was a consequence for this their disobedience. And the consequence is what is today's Old Testament lesson. There's a consequence, and that consequence is banishment. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They were made for paradise, this close relationship with God. They were made for this close relationship with one another, with creation. They were made to enjoy that kind of relationship, and yet they were banished from it as a consequence of their disobedience. It's their true home, this paradise that they lost, where there was communion with one another and with God, and restoration and peace and healing and all the things that we would want deeply. But they were banished from that place. And in verse 23 and 24 of the Old Testament lesson that Bill read a minute ago, it says, "The Lord sent them out from the Garden of Eden, and he drove them out of Eden and placed cherubim with a sword to guard the way back to the tree of life." And so Adam and Eve and their descendants, including us, are people without a home. The whole human race is in that condition. It's called original sin. And the psalm writer talks about this in various ways, and the writers of Scripture talk about this in various ways. The psalm writer says, "My soul longs, indeed it faints for the courts of the Lord. Even the sparrow and the swallow desire to build their nests in the eaves of the temple." They want to go back to and recapture and relive in that place that we're made for, but unfortunately we're banished from. The psalm writer in Psalm 42 says this, "As a deer pants for water, so does my soul pant for you, O God. Augustine called this a God-shaped hole or a void, he says, that's in every human heart that longs for something more, a deeper connection with what we're made for. Heidegger says that there's an ontological alienation that is in all of human nature, and especially in human beings. Kierkegaard says it's an existential angst, a dread. And so there's something inside of everyone that longs for home, longs for that relationship that we once had, but now we've been banished from having that relationship. There's a fundamental alienation from which all other alienations we see all over the place comes from, and it's separation from God. When they left paradise, they left God, and all other alienations come from that. Physical alienation, talked about in verses 16 and 17 of this passage, such that there will be pain now in childbirth, and it'll be dangerous to give birth. And work will now be work instead of a pleasure, instead of a joy. And so there's a physical alienation that has to do with this fundamental alienation that the Bible talks about in our separation from God. And then there's an emotional alienation. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. And so they're separated. And since there's the serpent involved, then all of creation is affected by this alienation. They've been excluded from the garden, and all of creation is alienated as well because of their disobedience. St. Paul puts it this way: the creation was subjected to futility, for creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of man, for its redemption. There's something wrong with creation itself because of their disobedience, because of this alienation. And then there's a spiritual alienation that comes from the more fundamental alienation. And it's a spiritual alienation that we experience with God. St. Paul puts it this way. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Spiritually, we come into this world dead to God. Unless God would come into our life and cause us to come alive, we're dead in our relationship with God. He says that no one is righteous, not even one. So there's evidence of this alienation, this fundamental alienation between humankind and God every place we look. This past week, we read about Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade, and we know about the epidemic of depression and suicides around the world. And we know about the opioid addiction problem and workaholism that many of us experience and know closely, and the results of that, and violence in homes and disregard for human life. We know all about those things, and all of those things point us to the fundamental alienation that we experience because we're descendants of Adam and Eve, and we've been banished from the garden. Adam and Eve and their descendants were locked out of paradise, and the only way back is through the cherubim who is wielding a sword, and so the only way back is through death. There's only one way back into paradise, and it's through death. So far, it's all pretty bad news. I know. It's unrelenting, isn't it? But But remember, there's a time in Israel's history, a little later on, when God instructs Moses to build the tabernacle. And he instructs them to build a curtain. And this curtain would be of linen, and it would be different colors. There would be blue and purple and scarlet. And then he says, after that, you shall make this curtain that separates the people from God, the people from the Holy of Holies. You shall make that temple with cherubim that are weaved into this temple. The cherubim form the pattern on the temple that separates God from man. And these Israelites carried this tabernacle around with this curtain for 40 years and even longer before the temple was built in Israel, in Jerusalem. And then Solomon built the temple. And in this temple of Solomon's was this curtain with the cherubim that's woven into the fabric that separates God from man. And Herod then, after the temple is destroyed, rebuilds the temple. And in that new temple is this curtain with a cherubim that separates God from man. When Jesus died, according to Mark's gospel, it says he breathed his last. And then the next passage says, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. It's what was separating us from home, from what we were meant to experience, the relationship with God that he wants us to experience. God did it. It's separated from the top to the bottom. And he's made a way for us now to be reestablished in our connection, our relationship with God. And so the only way back to a right relationship is to take care of that fundamental alienation that was caused by disobedience. And through the cherubim, and through the sword, and through death, through Jesus' death, now we have the opportunity to be reconciled with God as we were created to be. Jesus paid the price for us to go home. Some of you know the book In the Presence of My Enemies by Howard Rutledge. Howard Rutledge was a man in the Air Force who was shot down in Vietnam, and he was held captive for a couple of years. And he talks about his experience in this book that he wrote. And here's how he described it. He says, during those long periods of enforced reflection, it became so much easier to separate the important from the trivial, the worthwhile from the waste. For example, in the past, I usually worked or played hard on Sundays and had no time for church. For years, my wife, Phyllis, had encouraged me to join the family at church. She never nagged or scolded. She just kept hoping. But I was too busy, too preoccupied to spend one or two short hours a week thinking about the really important things. Now, the sights and sounds and smells of death were all around me. My hunger for spiritual food soon outdid my hunger for steak. Now I wanted to know about that part of me that will never die. Now I wanted to talk about God and Christ and the church. But in the prison camp, in solitary confinement, there was no pastor, no Sunday school teacher, no Bible, no hymn book, no community of believers to guide and sustain me. I had completely neglected the spiritual dimension of my life, he says. It took prison to show me how empty life is without God. Genesis chapter 3 is the cornerstone of this building of our spiritual lives. If we get it right, then what we end up with is right. And what God is talking about is basic human nature, and it teaches us the utter sinfulness of sin and alienation and shame. And it also points us in the direction of the greatness of God's grace and mercy and what he has done for us on the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.